Now, if you will turn to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53, I'm going to read the last verses of this so well-known chapter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The word that has been on my heart keys in quite remarkably with the whole of our time this morning. It is this one little phrase in verse 10, the last part of it. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Aren't you thankful that the pleasure of the Lord is in the hand of Jesus? In anyone else's hands, it would not prosper. We have only to see what we do with our own lives and with the things of God when left to ourselves. The mess we get into, the problems we create, the incredible rebellion that sometimes we find in our own hearts when the Lord starts to deal with us. It is a wonderful thing that the pleasure of the Lord is in the hand of the Lord. And I just wanted to say just a few things very simply in the time that we have left to us. First, just to look at the verse, because I wonder what it means, the pleasure of the Lord. We have this word again in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, and in many ways this explains it. Isaiah 46, verse 10, the same word in Hebrew, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Evidently, then, this pleasure of the Lord is something to do with the will of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord. And of course, it is the Hebrew word for delight. We have it again in another part of Isaiah where it is said of the city that she will be called Hephzibah. My delight is in her. The delight of the Lord will prosper in his hand. But what does it mean, the delight of the Lord? If you just think of it like that, pleasure or delight, how can pleasure prosper in someone's hand? The idea is too abstract. It's too vague. But it's explained for us here, my counsel shall stand and I will perform all my pleasure. In other words, the Lord has a purpose. The Lord has something, an objective, if you like, an aim that he is seeking to achieve. That is his delight. Now, what is that purpose of the Lord? Surely it is that the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Surely it is that God may be everything in everyone. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 15 again, we have in this amazing chapter, we have almost an exposition of this. 1 Corinthians 15, We will read from verse 20. But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to abolish all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. Verse 28, and when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. We have again this same thought in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse we'll read from verse 8, which is of his grace and so on, redemption, which is in him through his blood, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, that's in Christ, unto a dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The pleasure of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, the aim of the Lord, what is it? God has something in his mind's eye. And that is something to which he is moving and has been moving, as it were, all through the ages of time. From the very moment when he created man, from the very moment when man fell, God was not deterred or diverted or frustrated, but went on moving towards that great aim. How wonderful that is then. So on the greatest scale of all, it is this, that this poor old world with all its breakdown, all its confusion, all its disorder, all its strife, all its jealousy, all its hatred, is one day going to be full of the glory of God. The glory of God is going to radiate through everything. Not just those redeemed ones, but through the whole creation itself. We have many glimpses of this in the Word. We're told the lion will lie down with the lamb. A little child will lead them. We're told that a little one will play with a viper and an asp. Nothing will hurt in the whole of God's holy mountain. The glory of the Lord. All flesh will see it together when that day comes. And it's all going to be, when God becomes everything in everyone, the first step is really that he might sum up all things in himself. That is the Lord Jesus. What a purpose. The pleasure of the Lord. Of course, that's on a grand scale, isn't it? It may leave us a bit untouched, in one sense, with all our problems and difficulties and so on. But what is the purpose of the Lord concerning you and me? The purpose of the Lord for you, dear child of God, if you've been saved, is his glory. You are a vessel of mercy prepared for glory. That's what it says in Romans. God's purpose for you is that what he has started in your life, he will complete. That what he has begun in you and with you will go right on to fulfillment. He is not only the Alpha, the first word, but he is the last. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last. He wants to finish the thing he started in your life. And what is that? It is to conform you to the image of his Son. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, you have this glorious purpose of the Lord. In verse 28, 29, we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to those that are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Are you saved? Well, the wonderful thing about your salvation is you were foreordained. And if you were foreordained, you've been called. What have you been called to? You've been called into this great purpose of God to sum up all things in Christ, that in the end he may be everything in everyone. And if you've been called, you've been justified. That is, you have been given an absolute righteousness, not of your own. But he has declared you to be righteous because your sin was laid on his Son. And his Son's righteousness has been transferred to you. You have been justified so that you can stand before God in all the battles of life, in all the antagonism of the enemy, in all the current that flows against us. God has justified you. And what is the end of it? Of this matter, that he may glorify you. Those he justified, he also glorified. What a purpose. So this is the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord has a delight in you. You may not think it. But the Lord has a tremendous delight in you. The Lord is not just interested in material things. He's not just interested in a natural creation. He is interested in a people not only redeemed, but a people brought into a union with himself where they can rule and reign with him, who can be part of his eternal administration. You are the delight of the Lord. Don't just think that God has some small, passing, transient interest in you. Well, so-and-so's got saved. They decided for me. I'm so thankful. I'm glad for them. And it's just a passing thing that later on the Lord may be very displeased with you. Not at all. God knew from the beginning the whole of your life, has brought you to himself. And his delight in you is not just a transient thing, it is an eternal delight. Because he is preparing you and training you, educating you for an eternal career. An eternal vocation, the pleasure of the Lord. His will, his design, his aim, his purpose. Well, however we look at it, there is a purpose for your life. God has not just saved you and going to tip you out into a hostile world to get on with it as best you can. God has saved you with a tremendous purpose, a tremendous objective in view. And that objective is that every single thing that comes into your life, every single thing that crops up in your circumstances, God will turn it to good account. Or it all becomes part of this being prepared for glory, being our capacity for the Lord being enlarged. Well, the pleasure of the Lord, that's a tremendous thing. But the next thing I want you just to notice is this little phrase, in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord in his hand. It does not say the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in your hand. or my hand, or our hand, but the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And this is the most wonderful thing. God has committed the whole of his purpose into the hands of his Son. No other hands hold the purpose of the Lord other than the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe that God would never have created man. Now, this is Shades of Norman Grubb. But I can't help it. It's the only way one can look at it. There's no other way to look at it, in my estimation. God would never have created man if he had not had an answer for his sin. Somewhere there, before time's eternal, the Father and the Son conferred together with the Spirit. There was some kind of conferring together. We hear it as it were almost like, who will go for us? And the Lord must have said, Jesus must have said, here am I. Send me. I'll go. We'll see that this purpose is fulfilled. Now we have to speak in Sunday school language when it comes to this kind of thing. For none of us can understand the triune God, or the way that things exactly work. But this we know, that somewhere there in the counsels of God, before time's eternal, the decision was taken. The Son would give himself to this task. And the Father said, my pleasure is safe in his hands. In his hands and in his hands alone, the whole purpose for mankind is safe. My whole purpose for the creation is safe. In other hands, it will turn sour. In other hands, it will be spoiled. In other hands, it will come short of fulfillment. But in his hands, it will be 100% safe. So the Father went on. He created us in his own image, knowing full well what would happen, knowing that the fall would come, knowing all the anguish and sorrow that would be our lot. But he's turned it all to good account. Sometimes people say to me, well, was that right of God? Wouldn't it have been better never to go? Well, I'm very thankful. Thank you. I wouldn't be here myself if it hadn't been that the Lord took the risk. What about you? Aren't you glad that you got saved? I'm very glad that the Lord went. I'm very glad that the pleasure of the Lord was placed in the hand of the Son. Otherwise, you and I would never have a chance of an eternity with him. It was a risk, but God took it when he knew that the Son would undertake the hope. Now, isn't this exactly what the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 3? He says these words that are so wonderful in Ephesians 3 and from verse 8. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which for ages hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he realized or purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, I find that very wonderful because it really simply means this, that God has a purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, or as the other one put it, has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's fulfilled in him. It was safe in his hands. Oh, thank God. The purpose of the Lord is in safe hands. It says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority and power in heaven and on earth hath been given into my hands, Jesus said. And in Ephesians, it says that God made him to sit at his right hand far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but in that which is to come. and placed all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over everything to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who filleth everything in every one. Dear child of God, the pleasure of the Lord is in safe hands. Now, what about you? What about me? What about our life together? So now we can start to bring our little petty personal circumstances and problems and put them in their right setting. They are not some unrelated problem, something that's just somehow happened to you, and God says, oh, so-and-so's in a state. This somehow or other, your problem has a tremendous setting. If only you could see it. The kitchen sink. The office, our squabbling with one another, all these other things we have, all the problems we have, all the things that get us down, the little things. It's never the big things that get us down, it's the little things that get us down. Little irritating things, people who don't brush their feet on the mat. The kind of things that get people down, silly little things, people who don't blow their noses or don't brush their teeth. Those are the things that get people down, families down, and bring about some sort of strain and tension. Oh, it's all the little things, impunctuality, selfishness, little selfishnesses, and so on. But you see, dear child of God, now take all this and put it into its context. God has a purpose concerning us. He's not taken by surprise by any problem that comes into your life. There is no failure, no weakness, no problem, no affliction, no antagonism of the enemy, no breakdown in human relationships, which takes him by surprise. He knows it all. The context is tremendous. In your hands, you will spoil everything. You will spoil God's purpose for you. You will spoil God's purpose for your family. You will spoil God's purpose for the church. In your hands, my hands, but in his hands, it's safe. Oh, for eyes to see it. It would bring an altogether new attitude to the Lord on our part, because I have come to see over some years that very few of us trust the Lord. We are so afraid of anything that goes out of our hands. If we can keep our hands on our own life and our own destiny and our own future and our own way and so on, we feel safer to let it go out of our hands into the hands of God. Oh, of course, we wouldn't put it like that. Oh, we say, we trust him. It's others we don't trust. They want to get their clammy hands on us. They want to steer us. They want to manipulate us. They want to do this and that and the other. Sometimes people, they will go against a teaching. You know, if there's something about brokenness, they will say, oh, I don't want anything about that heavy kind of thing, being broken. It should be all joy in the Lord. Or if it's something to do with going out and bringing others to the Lord, we say, oh, you don't want that. The great thing is to get deeper. But these folks never do get deeper. That's the interesting thing. They neither fish anyone in, never become the instrument of others getting saved. All they become is more crabby. Sometimes a little more knowledgeable, but that's all. No more. Oh, that we could trust the Lord concerning his purpose for us, concerning his purpose for you, concerning his purpose for the church. The Lord has never failed. It is a wonderful story, the history of the church. It is a wonderful story, the history of the purpose of God and how it has been fulfilled against overwhelming odds. Why, wherever you look in the whole history of the people of God, you find that it seems at times as if the whole of hell would swamp the work of God, overwhelm it, extinguish it, liquidate the whole thing. And then sometimes with one person, with a tiny little group, the Spirit of God comes upon them and the whole situation is reversed. One becomes a thousand. A little one becomes a strong nation. Women by faith turn to flight. Armies of aliens. Well, well, well. It's an extraordinary thing, this pleasure of the Lord prospering in his hand. Don't you think, when you look at the broad view of the whole thing, think for a moment. Every time there has been a tremendous move forward in the purposes of God, in the interests of the kingdom of God, what has been the key? It has been the lordship of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Always, always, you have no movement forward in the whole history of the people of God from Abraham other than the lordship of Jesus Christ. Even what Paul mentioned about these kings in the Old Testament, they were judged by whether they did the commandment of the Lord or not. David, with all his failings and sin, there was one thing he desired above everything else, and that was to do the will of God. Wherever there's been an advance forward, it has been the lordship of Jesus Christ. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. That's not a different subject. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Once you have believers ready to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, ready to accept the will of God, whatever it costs, ready to do the will of God, whatever it costs, the pleasure of the Lord prospers. Now, dear child of God, what about your life? What about mine? Is there a holdup? Is there a famine? Are you spiritually poverty-stricken? Do you feel defeated? You feel that the Midianites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, and all the otherites have come in like a flood and are sitting where they ought not to sit in your life? You can't praise the Lord. You can't pray. You can't contribute. You can't participate. Because very few of us own up. It's always everybody else. Oh, we say that lot. How can you participate there? Impossible. But it's an interesting thing. I've observed people for years. Some of them haven't opened their mouths in 7, 8, 10 years, 15 years. It's amazing. I've come to the conclusion that the problem's in them. You can praise the Lord in the presence of your enemies. How much more in the presence of those who've been saved by grace, stuffy as they may be. They may be stuffy, they may be a bit mean at times, a bit loveless. You mean to tell me you can't praise the Lord? No, of course not. It is a psychological get-out. That's all. Always it's other people. You notice that? It's the boss. The boss. Or it's some person in the office. Oh, that person is the bane of your life. Or it's someone who you have to work with in the Lord. Oh, that person, if I only could get rid of someone. Sometimes it takes the Lord a lifetime to bring a person to the simple recognition of a truth. It's me. It seems so sad to wait till we're on that bed that some of our hymnologists sing about, lisping and stammering. And only then wake up to the fact that we are the problem. No wonder we shall weep in the presence of the Lord. No wonder he has to wipe away tears from our eyes. If we go into the presence of the Lord with a wasted life, that we've blamed on so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and this and that and the other, not just believers, but all kinds of things. The whole history of the work of God is filled with people blaming circumstances, blaming the enemy, blaming people, blaming the current that was against them, blaming unpopularity, blaming persecution, blaming one another. There is no excuse. I want to tell you something. If God chained you to the devil, still his purpose would prosper in the hand of the Lord concerning you. Oh, you say, that's a dreadful thing to say. Never thought I'd ever come to a Christian meeting and hear someone say, talking about being chained to the devil. And who was the apostle chained to if it wasn't the devil? Three, 4 years? Don't you call that being chained to the devil? I do. Actually chained. He couldn't even do the private things of life without the guard clanking along beside him. Some people would go out of their minds. Can't even brush your teeth. Wash your hands without that guard clanking along. Chained. Watchman Nee was 20 years in solitary confinement in a cell. I call that being chained to the devil. It hasn't stopped the pleasure of the Lord prospering in the Lord's hands, in the hands of Jesus, has it? Do you know that our brother Watchman Nee never wrote a book except The Spiritual Man and dictated, watch all this, concerning our mission. It was while he was chained to the devil that book after book after book of his ministry has gone throughout the whole world to the blessing of, must be now, about surely a million people. Is it an exaggeration? The pleasure of the Lord has prospered in the hand of Jesus because he was wholly submitted to him. Dear friend, God has a tremendous purpose. And you, if you are saved, are involved in that purpose. Oh, I think of my own life. How I hinder the Lord. How I frustrate the Lord's merciful design. How I make it difficult for him, don't you? And how we do, as together as the people of God. Oh, if we could only own him as Lord, not in word, but in deed. It's not that God would leave us with circumstances that are always difficult, but you know, God can use anything to work glory. I've told you this before. I have never forgotten Mildred Cable. It was not only the fact that I was going to go to that part of the world, but there was something about that woman. For any one of you who ever remember, you have to say the older ones, Evangeline or Francesca French and Mildred Cable, that trio who trekked through the Gobi Desert, Central Asia, did the work of men. Should have been men who've been doing it, but you know, the men never do it. Lift up your heads, so sisters. It is the women, quite honestly, who really forged ahead in this matter of taking the gospel to so many parts of the world. Those three women, Evangeline Francesca, so refined, so genteel, so feminine, that one could hardly believe the kind of life they lived. And dear old Mildred Cable, with her straight back when she was over 80 years of age and her voice like the voice of a man, she didn't need any microphone or amplification. I've never forgotten her when she said how she was intrigued by the Jade Smiths of Peking.
how she used to see the jade quarried in the mountains of Turkestan and Western China and come across by the Bactrian camel caravan to Peking. And how she used to go and wash and get, she got to know some of them, and how they would take those pieces of jade, and the jade smith, the real master, would sit sometimes for an hour just looking at a piece of jade. And then he would put it away, wrap it up very beautifully in cloth, put it away and go on with something else. And then a week later he would take it out again and he would look at it again. And then he would wrap it up and put it away. What was he doing? Well, you see, in the jade there was a flaw. And the whole art of the jadesmith was what to do with the flaw. Now, most of us who just go to see a jade exhibition, if you've ever been to one or seen a book on jade, don't know anything about the flaws. You see, we see a most beautiful lotus flower, and on it, a brown bee. The brown bee is a flaw. But the flaw has become the focal point of beauty in the whole work. That jadesmith sometimes took years. There are some pieces of jade over which 14, 15 years of meditation, reflection, and finally work were done. The dripping, dripping, dripping of a little bit of water to polish it, and then the slow polishing until finally a piece of incredible beauty came. Dear child of God, have you got a problem like that? There are problems which are transient. If we will go on with the Lord, they will disappear. There are circumstances which God can use for the time, and they disappear like the mist with the rising sun. But there are other problems which remain with us for life. But those problems God can make the focal point of what he's doing in your life, if you will only submit to him. Then the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. This word prosper is a wonderful word. It just simply means will go on richly. You have it in Genesis 39 and verse 3. Genesis 39 verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. This was, of course, Joseph. It all prospered in his hand. It went on prospering. Not just a thought of something just now, but a development. A development. Dear child of God, the Lord has a very real purpose for us all. If we look at it in the broadest context, that purpose goes back to before times eternal and it goes on to eternity to come. And that purpose of the Lord is not going to be frustrated. It is in safe hands. The question is whether you and I are going to be in it. And that all depends upon whether we are able to submit to the Lord, to surrender to the Lord, to really positively make him Lord of our lives. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Shall we bow together? Father, we do pray that thou wilt apply this word to every one of our lives. Thou knowest every life in this room. Thou knowest, Lord, where thy pleasure is prospering concerning us, because it is in the hands of our Lord Jesus. O Father, thou hast made him head over everything for the church. Of him it is said, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. O Father, we long
that thy purpose for all of us may be fulfilled, that thy purpose concerning us as a people shall be fulfilled. Dear Lord, help us to see this matter. May we know thy pleasure, thy delight, prospering, going on prosperously in the hand of our Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name.